Well, let's pray. Father, tonight we celebrate the atonement. We celebrate the excruciating act of pain and suffering endured by your Son for our sake. And I just pray that as we focus on the meaning of this, that you will just help us to respond in a way that is grateful, that exalts you, and that worships you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it was game four of the 1945 World Series. The Chicago Cubs were up 2-1 over the Detroit Tigers, and William Sianis, the owner of the Billy Goat Tavern, decided to attend the game with his kid. He literally took his kid, a baby goat, to a baseball game. Don't ask me why. But apparently this baby goat, this kid, was annoying the rest of, the fans, and he was asked to leave. And he did, after many protestations, and then he wrote a telegram to the Wrigleys, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, and said, "You are going to lose this World Series, and you are never going to win another World Series again. You are never going to win a World Series again because you insulted my goat." And this began the curse of the Billy Goat. And for 71 years, it tormented and tortured many Chicago fans. Now, that curse was broken in 2016, by the way. It was kind of glorious. But you look at this term curse, right? It implies a solemn utterance, a hex, a prayer to some supernatural being to bring about misfortune on an individual, or in this case, a baseball team. Now, do you guys believe in curses? What happens when a black cat crosses your path? Do you kind of wait, oh, we can't walk under this ladder? No, 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 we can't break that mirror because you might be cursed. You think about voodoo dolls, witches, and hexes. Right? Do you believe in curses? I do. In Genesis chapter 3, we read of a curse. You know the story? The serpent deceives the woman, Eve, who then offers the fruit to her husband, and he partakes. And you see a series of curses. To the serpent, you are to crawl on your belly. You'll be at enmity with the woman, and her seed will one day crush your head. To the woman, some of you mothers know what I'm talking about. You'll experience great pain at childbirth, and there'll be family friction for the rest of your life. And to the man, this earth will be cursed. You shall work it, and it'll only yield its fruit and produce at great pain and toil to yourself. Adam, you will have to work among thorns and thistles. And that ground that you work so hard to provide a living, well, one day you will die and become part of the ground. See, the Bible teaches that there are curses. God cursed humanity, and he cursed this world. And as we keep on moving through the scriptures, we see that there is some hope where God offers a blessing, which is the opposite of curse, right? Where a curse is divine disfavor, well, a blessing is divine favor. Start with Abraham. Abraham had many sons. They eventually sired the nation of Israel. Israel was eventually delivered from the hands of Pharaoh, given the promised land. And as they're about to enter, God makes it very clear that if you want to be blessed or if you want to be cursed, it depends on whether or not you obey my law. Deuteronomy 11:26, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Do you want to be blessed?" And it's interesting, all the blessings help you live longer and all the curses shorten your lifespan. And there's one interesting curse that we read about in Deuteronomy. To Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree." This is the premise. somebody has done something bad. Idolatry, adultery, they murdered someone. In the immediate context, we see that there's an incorrigible, rebellious son who the parents just say, we don't know what to do with him, and he goes to the village square, and that is when he is stoned with many stones. But in some cases, the elders would choose to make an example of one of these, cursed individuals. They were cursed with capital punishment because of the crimes they have committed, and they would be hung on a tree, perhaps suspended with ropes, perhaps impaled. You might have seen those medieval movies where they walk into some forsaken town and they see bodies on pikes, and they know that they take law and order very seriously here, and those people on those pikes serve as a warning to everyone else. You see, that was a way of heaping further shame on these people who did cursed deeds. But there was still a limit to that. And so there's a regulation here in 23. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. So yes, you can put that cursed man on a tree so everyone knows that he's cursed, but there's a limit. You need to take him down. Now, this helps explain an interesting event that happens in John chapter 19. Jesus was just crucified. He was hung on a tree. And after he died, John 19:31-34 says this, since it was a day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. There's kind of an irony here, where clearly these leaders wanted Jesus crucified. Not just killed, but crucified. They wanted him to be shamed and embarrassed. They wanted everyone to think, I don't want to do what he did. And they resorted to framing him, lying, betraying, and ultimately murdering him. They broke an unbelievable amount of laws to bring him to that point. But then, right as the sun was about to set, they said, we better obey the law and take him down because we can't leave a cursed man on a tree overnight. And so they brought him down. They believed that their obedience would prevent a curse. The church in Galatia was at war with each other. They had a faction that believed that if you, obeyed the law, there would be an extra measure of blessing. It was necessary. Simple faith in Jesus Christ was not enough. You had to obey the Old Testament law. And Paul makes an argument in Galatians 3:10-15. In verse 10, Paul explains, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. If you believe you had to keep the Old Testament law to receive a blessing, there was bad news for you because you were going to break the law at some point in time. Paul argues in Romans that all of us have disobeyed the impossible law, which is thou shalt not covet. Have you guys coveted today? Have you seen any new Ford F-150 trucks? Men, you know. You see, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Because we have broken God's law, we are cursed with death. But then Paul begins to explain the superiority of the gospel. Now it is evident, verse 11, that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, see if this sounds familiar, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Christ was cursed by hanging on a tree. That's a clear reference to what? The cross. The crucifixion. It was a punishment that was designed so that when you walk by somebody who is crucified, you'd say, that man is cursed. It would begin with some sort of special torture, flogging. They would lacerate the back of Jesus in this case with leather thongs with little pieces of rock or glass. He'd be weakened by the blood, and then he'd be forced to carry his crossbeam. It's the equivalent of digging your own grave. The very crowd that welcomed him as a Messiah that Sunday would now look at this weak, feeble man and see him as cursed. Once he got to the appointed place, they would assemble the cross and they would strip him of his garments. I know we often don't like to think about it, but when we talk about how he was naked, well, the purpose of crucifixion is to shame and humiliate. They did everything they could to make sure that happened. Then they'd take three nails and affix them to the cross, and the hand bones aren't strong enough to do it, so it'd be through the wrist. So one here, and then they'd turn his ankles to the side, and one through both ankles. And so he is twisted, hanging on the cross, and exposed to the hot sun, exposed to the elements, exposed to mockery, no water, no food, and he'd had to push up to take every breath against a wooden cross with a lacerated back. He was cursed. He was cursed. So the question is, who was cursed? The person who was cursed, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It's not Jesus who was cursed, it was Christ who was cursed. That would be stunning to a Jewish audience, wouldn't it? The Christ was the Messiah. That was the anointed one. That was the one who's going to restore Israel to the golden age. And this Christ, who we were to believe in and anticipate, he was cursed. Not blessed, but cursed, and cursed in the most humiliating way possible, because as he was dying, his father turned away from him and abandoned him completely to the curse. But there is a purpose in verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. See, all of you were doomed to be cursed. You were sentenced to the curse of death. And we all feel the effects of the curse. People don't necessarily, 90% of death is done by disease, right? As you age, as your eyesight fades, that's part of the dying process, reminding you that you're cursed. One day your body will yield to the elements, bacteria, a virus, organ failure, you name it. Something will take your life and you will experience the curse. And in an unchecked state, part of that curse will be further alienation from God. Alienation forever under God's wrath. For people who are in hell are cursed forever. But 2,000 years ago, on that wooden cross, Jesus was cursed. Jesus Christ was cursed. Jesus Christ, who never did anything to deserve a curse, was cursed. Jesus never coveted, never murdered, was never sinfully angry, never lied. He lived the perfect life you should have lived. And then he was cursed with a curse he did not deserve, so that those who are cursed might give him that curse, so that they might have eternal life, never to undergo the wrath of God. You see, curses are real. They're real. We're living under a curse. And as we celebrate Good Friday, what we're doing is we're celebrating the lifting of the curse. Now, I know we have our whole catalog of Easter music, but I thought it might be appropriate to maybe reflect on a Christmas carol. You might have heard of it, Joy to the World. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. So you can have joy because God cursed a man in your place. You can have joy because cursed is a man who hangs on a tree. You can have joy because it was Christ who was cursed, who hung on the tree. And if you have faith in him, you turn away from your sins, you follow him in faith, and you can follow him because he's been risen from the dead, your curse will be placed on him. And as a result, when you have faith, you'll inherit a world without sin, without sorrows, without thorns, and without a curse. Let's pray. Well, Father, we are grateful that your Son bore the curse for us. And I pray for anyone here who perhaps this is new, perhaps their conscience is pricked, perhaps, you know, they fear the curse, they fear death and all that it entails. I pray for those who have not yet yielded completely to you, that these words and this weekend will motivate them to be wholly surrendered to you, that they will understand that it was the love of your Son that held him on the cross, who became a curse, so that we might be blessed in his presence with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.